Paranormal Truth and Reality with host Chris Houston. A show for those with a passion for the paranormal. And now, welcome to the show.
Welcome to Paranormal Truth and Reality. I'm your host, Christopher Houston, here on BBSRadio.com. We have a very special guest, Rick Hale. He's an author, a publisher, and an investigator himself. He was on, actually, several shows, Ghost Tapes and Ghost Tapes 2, as well as publishing Spooksies.com. Welcome, Rick. How are you doing?
Hi, Chris. Thank you so much for having me on the show. Thank you.
Yeah, not a problem at all. So tell us a little bit about you, Rick. What got you started in the paranormal?
Well, first off, I think I want to clear a little something up first. I'm not a publisher. I'm a published author.
Published author.
Writer, but I'm not a publisher.
Understandable. Yep, I tend to get some terminologies messed up every now and then, so I'm glad you cleared that up. But I mean, you've published quite a lot of things.
Yeah, I've written a number of articles for different websites over the last few years. But you asked me what it is that got me originally interested in the paranormal, and since I was a little boy, about 8 years old, I witnessed and interacted with an apparition at my grandparents' house on the northwest side of Chicago, and have stuck with it ever since. That's been 36 years, I believe now. Almost 36 years.
Now, did you have a lot of experiences when you were a child, or did you just kind of jump into it as a curiosity more than anything else?
Well, after that, that initial experience, I did become interested, and, it became just somebody who would, that weird kid that would go into the library a couple times a week asking, so where's your book on your books on ghosts and monsters? And, I pretty much just started reading up on the subject, as any, little kid would do. And it wasn't a good night. It wasn't until I was about 17 years, about 9 years later, when I did my first investigation. And, that was in 1991. And I've stuck with it consistently ever since.
Well, it's kind of amazing that you talk about that. I think that's what gets a lot of us started into the paranormal is, you have an experience as a child or early on, and then the fascination or the experience kind of makes you look a little bit deeper, find out whether you actually saw or heard what you did.
Right. No, so I definitely know what I saw, because my grandmother, we called her Mrs. McNett. We knew who this apparition was. My grandmother had seen her on a number of occasions, and talking to my cousins, even cousins that lived down in Alabama, it's like, visiting your grandparents' house, we had several of our own personal experiences. So it's kind of like a family affair on the Hale side of the family.
Hmm. Now, was it a an angry ghost? Was it a friendly ghost? Was it something that appeared multiple times?
Oh, it's very friendly. I really can say that I've never had a negative experience. I've had some intense experiences, but nothing really negative. And it was nice having that kind of experience with a spirit as a young child, that taught me, that you don't have to be afraid of dying. You don't have to be afraid of the dead, because there really are just people like you and I, or were people like you and I are now. So,
That happens quite a lot when you're in the paranormal community. I think people concentrate too much on the negative side of things. And don't get me wrong, there are some negative things out there, but there's a lot of positive things too. I know that my father, who passed on, he followed in my home, actually, even with the negative things that were going on there, for almost 2 years. Okay. And it was a positive thing.
Right, right. Yeah, I think, you know, you do say that we have a tendency to focus on the negative things. And, you know, let's face it, on the television shows, it's great for ratings. And, yeah, the negative stuff is kind of sexy. But, you know, at the same time, at the end of the day, you really are dealing with people who were once alive. And they're trying to get some kind of a message across, or they're trying to, you know, they may not understand what has happened to them, and they're looking for somebody to help them understand that.
I think that happens quite a lot. And sometimes they may know that they're gone, but they're just sticking around because they're curious, or they want to be around their loved ones, or maybe they just enjoy being around.
Right, exactly.
So you've written a book. Let's talk a little bit about the book and your journey in writing it, and what it's about, so that people know a little bit about it, and what brought you to the point of going, I think I'll write something.
The name of the book is The Geek's Guide to the Strange and Unusual: Poltergeist, Ghosts, and Demons. And it came about actually almost 10 years ago. I wrote the very first version of the book, and I kind of set it to the side for a long time. And when I was the co-host of Paranormal Underground magazine about 5 or 6 years ago, the producer, Cheryl Knight Wilson, who is, you know, still a fantastic friend of mine, she's a really great lady, and she asked me, she's like, hey, you know, we have this new imprint called Ghost Knight Media. Would you be interested in writing a book for us? And I'm like, hey, guess what? I already have a book written if you want to take a look at it. And basically what the book is about is it's ghost stories of many of the famous stories in the annals of psychical research, or, you know, paranormal research and investigation. And it's my own personal take, some of my own personal theories, some of my own style, as it were, as a writer. My son right now is playing games with me. So basically that's what it was. And, you know, it did fairly well. I was actually really quite surprised. One of the really surprising things is that it sold really well in Great Britain and across Europe. So I'm kind of like, you know, the cheap trick of the paranormal world. I'm huge in Japan.
Well, that's I know that we sometimes laugh about that in the United States, but you know, you publish something, sometimes here it may not get as recognized, because a lot of people like to look at the glamour. They go into bookstores, they look at the glamour and so forth. But when you start to get overseas, it gets a lot more interest. I know my first few papers were actually published, and it didn't even get a notice here in the United States. People could look now and probably not find it, but it shot through the roof in Great Britain in a matter of weeks and just surprised me. I had people calling me, asking me questions, and I was like, it was just a small paper.
Right.
I had a chance to read a little bit of your book. It is quite interesting. I haven't finished it yet. I apologize for that. I wanted to finish it before the show, but I got so wrapped up on things. But it is amazing. It's an amazing book. It's well written.
Oh, thank you very much. I'm glad you like it.
Now, you've done articles, obviously, in quite a lot of different magazines, from the Underground magazine, Supernatural magazine, and so forth. So let's kind of talk about those a little bit.
Right. Yeah. Actually, my first published work was in I don't even think it's available anymore. It was called Haunted Times Magazine. Are you familiar with it?
I'm familiar with it. I haven't read a lot of it though.
Yeah. It was my first actual published work. It was about the it was basically about, you know, ghosts in Great Britain. Especially Highgate, focusing on Highgate Cemetery. I've always been I've never actually been to the United Kingdom, but I definitely plan on going someday, and I really, really love the British ghost story. But Haunted Times, that was the very first thing that I had ever been published in. And it was quite by accident. I didn't even know that it happened until somebody wrote me an email. They're like, oh, hey, I just bought this Haunted Times magazine, and there's an article by you in it. So I actually rushed to the local bookstore, and I snatched a couple copies up, And, you know, after that, I just started writing for, I started writing for Paranormal Underground magazine, which is paranormalunderground.net, and wrote for them for a long time. I was the co-host of for their radio show for about 5 or 6 years, and then I wrote for the Supernatural magazine, and right now I'm doing some work for SpookyIsles.com. It's really funny too because I am the only American writing for Spooky Isles, which is basically it's a British based online magazine. So I'm the only American that's writing for them right now. So it's kind of exciting for me.
Yeah, I had a chance to look at Spooky Isles a little bit. Amazing stuff, actually. So,
yeah, I really like it.
It's got to be a good opportunity for you. In your experiences from a child up to now with writing and so forth, I'm sure you've been in the field a few times. You've had a chance to speak to many, many investigators, odds are. Mm-hmm. Let's kind of get an intake on that. Let's start with the United States here. I mean, how many locations have you visited and talked to people about and so forth?
Well, I don't do locations like people do. You know, they go to like these what I call big box haunts where they pay, you know, a couple hundred dollars to spend the night. I actually specialize in private homes. So if I'm in your home, chances are it's because you wanted me there. That's a joke, of course. But, yeah, I specialize mostly in private homes, so I am dealing primarily with the public.
Well, it's interesting that you say that. I know a lot of people like to go to the box places, and don't get me wrong, mm-hmm. I've been to a couple myself. They're interesting. They have good histories. But sure. How would you say that the ambiance most of the time is what you're getting into when you go to Waverly or you go to even the Ohio Reformatory here in Ohio? Sure. The odds of picking up real activity actually decreases. I know a lot of people think that they're incredibly active, but it took me 2 times to go to Waverly to see one thing.
Right. Now, see, it's like I tell people too that, especially with these places, that I sometimes joke around that all the ghosts are going to get together and they're going to go on strike. And hell no, we won't haunt. I do think that these places have been, if you'll pardon the pun, done to death. You know, thousands of people have been through these places, and it's like, you know, really, how many times can you investigate a place like Waverly? How many times can you investigate a place like Manresa? How many times can you? But I think that the real work where the rubber meets the road is really done in a private home, where you are dealing directly with the psychological influence that a haunting can have on a living person. And it's really funny, Chris, because most of the investigations that I've done over the last 26 years or whatever, I've never really come across anything that's bad. Mostly when I go to these homes, it's like these people, they already know that they have something going on in their home. They just need a third party to confirm it for them. And I think that that's where the real work is done. And when you're dealing with somebody who is living in this place and they're dealing with, you know, whatever or whomever may be in their house.
Well, and sometimes it might be scary to them at first until they realize that it's not harmful, that it's just something else living there. And in a way, the reactions it's coming from it is because it is trying to tell you it's here. It's trying to tell mm-hmm. you, hey, look, you're invading my space a little bit. I understand I'm invading yours, but pay attention to me.
Right.
And so forth. I know my first haunted experience was very, very scary. Part of it was that, the other part of it we still can't explain, but I have since moved on. And then I moved into this home, and I had some activity in the first few weeks until I realized and did research on it and found out that a gentleman did die here. Once I mm-hmm. realized that and respected his space, he respects my space, and we very rarely hear from him.
I'm sorry, go ahead. I interrupted you.
Oh, no, you're fine.
No, please, go on. I didn't say.
I was just going to agree with you a little bit. It is kind of unique how often, at least in my experience from tagging along with investigators, even in personal homes, how once the individual understands that, that, mm-hmm. that scariness tends to disappear.
Yeah. You know, my a long-time motto of mine is demystifying the mysterious and alleviating the fear of the unknown. That has been one of my mottos for a very, very long time. And I think that that's when you're going to deal directly with clients in the home, that's the one thing that you want to do. You don't want to make them be more afraid than they already are. Now, I can't say that it's, I have come across people that are like, okay, there have been a few, there's like, I'm not really sure what's going on, but I just need you to confirm it for me. Is it something that I need to worry about? Is it something that's going to harm my children? And 9 times out of 10, it's just something trying to say hi.
It makes perfect sense. I've seen that several times going out to places and tagging along with people. And of course, I'm very, very enthusiastic on this. I tell everybody the same thing that, of course, I've probably told you. If I haven't, I'm sure you've heard it. I'm not an investigator myself, though I have been on investigations, mm-hmm. though I have helped and I have done things. My job is to be a host and to learn from investigators. That's what I've done from the start and what I'm going to continue to do with Paranormal Truth and Reality, because I think your voices need to be heard. I can certainly understand that it's something that's a misconception in television. People think that it's always scary, it's always a demon, it's always a bad thing, it's always a terrible thing, but 99% of the time it really isn't.
Right. You know, and I've had that too, and it's been really rough since about 2004 or 2005, especially with a certain television show that I Ghost Adventures. Ghost Adventures has somehow convinced people that there are demons or evil spirits waiting around every corner, waiting to jump out and steal your soul. And that's just not how it is. And it's really sad because for the long time there, it would seem almost a quarter of the time that I spent in somebody's home was re-educating them on what it is that they have or what it is they're dealing with. I've gone into people's homes where they're like, well, do we have a demon in our house? No, you don't have a demon in your house. You just have, you know, somebody that's just trying to express themselves. And unfortunately, they have done things that they, you know, should be ashamed of. That's just downright rude. But they're either telling you that they're there, or they're saying, hey, we don't want you here, which does happen in some cases of hauntings. And I mean, don't get me wrong, I think that the television shows have done an amazing job of opening people's minds up and their eyes and their hearts and their souls to the possibility that something beyond this life exists. That's great. That's perfect. That's what they should have been doing. But somewhere along the way, it got into the whole idea of exploitation, and now you don't really have that anymore. You're just that wow factor, that scare factor, where, you know, it kind of makes people think that when it comes to investigating, it's a scare a minute. And it's just, actually, it's more boredom than anything else when you're on an investigation.
Yeah, well, I agree with that, and when I talk about this, just so the listeners are aware, you know, I have the utmost respect for most people that are on television. I've met a few myself. They work very, very hard at what they do, and a lot of what you see on television is all based off of ratings. Now, it's great to have the happy feelings, and some television shows have done this from time to time very, very successfully, but let's face it. Being scared sells,
and yes, absolutely,
and that's what the networks are doing. They're saying, okay, we need more excitement, we need more jumps, we need more scares, we need more this, and we need more that. In reality, when you start talking to paranormal investigators, you'll find out that less than 1% turns out to be something that you should be scared of. In fact, it's even smaller than that.
Right. That's been my experience.
Yeah, no, it's a great thing to bring up. I certainly appreciate you even talking about it, Rick, because a lot of times when we're on the show, we're talking about a lot of the negative things. And I really think people should understand that the paranormal has a lot of positive things, too. If you look at it from the reverse, if I've passed away and I've lived in this home my whole life, it's still going to be my home. When somebody else comes in, redecorates it, puts new things around and does things that I don't like, I'm probably going to act up about that. But it may not be the people. I might be glad somebody's in the home. I just don't like what's going on.
Right, exactly. Yeah, you don't like me. You don't like this family tearing down that wall or throwing that wall up or, you know, renovating the kitchen or the bathroom or whatever. So I'm gonna show my distaste of this by, you know, putting a little bit of a scare in there every once in a while. But I don't think that it is something that is completely malicious in nature.
No, there's a lot of things that they're just, you have to figure out how to coexist is the easiest way to explain it, because they were there before you and they have every right to still stay there. So once you learn how to do that and they learn that you've learned how to do that and you respect that nature, then it tends to work out on its own.
Right. You know, it's funny, too, because it was an investigation I did in Huntley, Illinois, which is a small rural town in northern Illinois. And their home, they had been witnessing the spirit of a little girl in their house. And they always got the sense that this little girl was sad. And the reason this little girl was sad is, and we were able to determine this through a medium that we were working with, and she wanted to be a part of this family, but she didn't know how, because she didn't know where her family was. Her family had died in this home. What the medium told us was that it was a CO2 accident in the house, that they all had died in the middle of the night from CO2 leaking in from a bad furnace. And for whatever reason, this little girl had stuck behind in the house, and the parents had gone off to, you know, wherever it is that we go when we die. And she just wanted to be a part of a family. And we helped her to do that. And we helped the people in the house to understand that, you know, this little girl, she just wants to be here. She doesn't want to hurt you. She doesn't want to scare you. She just wants to be here and to know and for you to know that she's here. And, you know, talking to these people a couple of years later, everything was perfectly fine in the house after that. They had no problems. They didn't feel like the little girl was upset. In fact, she had rarely ever shown herself. So basically, she just wanted to belong. And I don't think that's a bad thing. Now, I've told this story to other people in the past, and they're like, well, how do you know it's not a demon? How do you know it wasn't something masquerading as this little girl? And it's like, you weren't there. You know what I'm saying? You weren't there. You didn't communicate with this little spirit through a medium. You didn't learn her story. You didn't understand why she was trying to communicate. You weren't there.
Well, and that's the best answer, because the easiest answer to a situation like that, and I don't know, Rick, if you've ever dealt with those situations or not. I have had the opportunity and the misopportunity at the same time, I guess you could say, of tagging along in a few incidents where you had to deal with negative situations, whether it be a demon, whatever you want to call it. And the easiest answer is, you'll know.
Oh, yeah, you'll absolutely know. It's like something is there that's out to get you. For me, for example, I consider myself to be a psychical researcher, which is like an old-fashioned term that they used before they started to use the term parapsychologist. I can't call myself a parapsychologist because I don't have a degree in any kind of scientific discipline, you know, psychology, sociology, whatever. So I have to use this older term of psychical researcher. And as a psychical researcher, I'm more interested in psychic phenomena, poltergeists, and survival of the consciousness after the death of the body. When it comes to any kind of religious phenomena, I'm an atheist. I don't believe in God. So I am going to say, hey, look, they think that this is, I'm not going to say I'm an atheist. Forgive me for saying that. I misrepresented that. I'm more of an agnostic than anything else. If you think that you have something in your home that is of a religious, spiritual nature, then allow me to, you know, to tell you, go to your local church, talk to your pastor, priest, rabbi, or imam, whatever. Talk to them, find out what their take is on it, because I have little to no interest in religious phenomena.
Well, that makes sense. I mean, everybody has their own, I guess, unique opinions and beliefs, and I respect all of them. I've studied virtually every religious and non-religious belief. Interesting stuff. I think that a lot of things are misunderstood throughout that process when I started to get into theology and breaking down a lot of things and misrepresented in a lot of situations. But reality is what you're dealing with, sometimes people see it from their own aspect. So they call it a demon.
It's also down to your beliefs.
Yeah, it all narrows down to beliefs. And I've been in a lot of situations where there were negative things in a home or an area, but I wouldn't exactly have called that negativity demonic. Now, I've seen a few other things that I can't explain what it was, but it definitely wasn't good. But I've seen some negative things that it turned out it was logical. Well, of course it was negative. It didn't like what was going on.
Right.
So I would like to I'd say more angry than anything else.
I will definitely agree with you on that. More angry than, you know, being something that, you know, wants to steal your soul or, you know. I definitely agree with you on that.
Well, and then you have the psychological aspect like you're talking about there when you're talking about poltergeist activity. All of that plays into effect. I was speaking to a university just this week, and there's a professor that has studied that, and he believes some of this stuff, it's very possible we can generate it on our own.
I agree.
And I think that's an interesting concept when you're already thinking negatively, when you're already worried about something, when there's already negativity in a home, it's very easy to project that, and now you have something of your own creation.
Well, I got a quick story concerning that. A couple weeks ago, I had participated in my very first speaking engagement at a paranormal convention. It was for Tim Miley, one of his events for Podgrass for Pooches. He's a really good friend of mine, and he's an outstanding author as well as an incredible investigator. And I have a great deal of respect for him. A guy that's fairly new to the field, but man, has he got his head, you know, where it needs, it is in the game, man. But so I told this story. This happened about 5 years ago. I got a telephone call from a friend of mine, a colleague, who's subsequently also a medium. And she told me that she is involved in a bad situation. This woman, she had just gotten divorced from her abusive alcoholic husband, and she moved into this home, and it was her and her daughter who was autistic, severely autistic. So she moved into this home, and all of a sudden she started having this activity start up where things were moving in the house. Forks were being whipped across the room, plates were coming, smashing out on the floor, and so she had this. She had a paranormal group come into their home. Well, they came into her home, and they told her that her house was infested with demons, and that, now get this, and this still makes me angry more than anything else in the world. They told this woman that her daughter, who is autistic and special needs, was possessed by a demon. Now, talking to this poor lady on the phone, I could literally feel my blood pressure beginning to rise. So I talked to this woman a little bit more. I never even had to go to this lady's house. I talked to her a little bit more on the phone. I found out what was going on in her life. Like I said, she had just gotten divorced from this alcoholic, abusive husband, and she basically had nothing. And she also was the sole caregiver for her severely autistic daughter. And so, you know, talking to her a little bit more, finding out what was going on, I decided to go the route of a famous parapsychologist named Nandor Fodor. He was a parapsychologist in the mid-20th century, and Nandor Fodor believed that if you as a possible poltergeist focus or agent or, you know, recurrent spontaneous psychokinesis, if you go to a therapist and talk your problems out, you can actually alleviate these problems. So I told the woman, I'm like, you need to call the Illinois State, find out if there's some kind of benefit that you can get where you can go talk to a therapist and maybe talk some of these problems out. That's exactly what she did, Chris. She went to a licensed clinical social worker. She had a couple of weeks worth of times that she was able to go see this guy on the state's dime. And within 2 weeks of her talking to this licensed clinical social worker, she got a job. She had no more problems with this husband of hers, and all the activity in her house ceased, stopped, dead. No more activity in the house whatsoever, because she was able to get out what was inside of her. She was unwittingly acting as this agent or focus for recurrent spontaneous psychokinesis, or what we popularly call the poltergeist.
Uh-huh.
She was causing this energy, this psychic turmoil that was going on inside of her. She had pushed it out into the environment. There was no demons in her house. There was just a poor lady who was psychically gifted, and it had turned into turmoil in her own life and was acting out in the house. This energy, this weird energy that we still don't really quite understand what it is. And I really must say, I don't like patting myself on the back, but I was really proud of her that she was able to get the help that she needed and to notice that this was coming from her, and it stopped. And now her life is so much better, and she's able to take care of her daughter without all this stuff going on. So first she has these people come into her home and says, you have a demon, and we're going to charge you $3,000 to cleanse this house. I was able to get this woman free care, or help her to get free care, and to stop this from going on.
You know, it's interesting that you actually mentioned that, and we're going to talk about that a little bit. A little bit of a break. You're listening to BBS Radio. BBS Radio is one of the largest digital radio stations here in the United States. If you're thinking about doing a podcast or a digital radio show, BBS is the way to go. Marengo Flea Market will be opened here again this weekend. Yes, it is very cold. It will be inside. There are supposed to be heated areas and a lot of interesting things. So make sure you support your local Marengo area if you're in the Morrow County here. Paranormal Journey into the Unknown with Gavin Kelly and Paulo Purcell just came out last week on Amazon. Make sure you take a look at them. They're up and comers. They're a great bunch of people. They like to be honest about their investigations. There's a few startles there and a few things where they kind of laugh at the end of it and tell you, hey, this was just us. We investigated everything. So it's a very interesting thing to take a look at. You've been listening to Paranormal Truth and Reality, Rick Hale. Rick Hale is a published author, and I apologize for the representation there, Rick. My ad department tends to slap these things together pretty quickly. He's also an investigator of over 23 years. He's written for several magazines. Very interesting man. We've been talking about a lot of different things. Rick, you just mentioned a little while ago something that I think is very, very important. With the uprise of television and the fascination with the paranormal, we have developed quite a lot of paranormal groups that are out there. Yeah. The thing is, this is not a rocket science. We all know that. Tagging along for 20 years, in fact, now myself with investigators, everybody has individual opinions. And unfortunately, there's not a step-by-step manual like there is when you go to a college university. But that one point has brought up a lot of things when television came in that is very unfortunate in situations like the lady that you have, and why I encourage people to really do a lot of research and have more than one person come into a home and take a look, because you're going to run into those teams that are going to automatically jump in and say things like that, and then they're going to want to charge you money to remove these things. I understand business is business. I get that. I'm in marketing myself. I'm in business. I'm a business strategist by trade. I do a lot of speaking every year for it. But I'm dead set against that. You know, coming into something that you can't explain in the first place, into somebody's home, and then charging them an additional fee to remove that.
Oh, my goodness.
And how do you really know you're removing anything?
Yeah, exactly. It's so incredibly subjective. Now, I have taken part in house cleansings. It's so weird. It's like it's one of those things that I'm still very much on the fence about. I don't know if I like them. I don't know if I dislike them, but I've taken part in them. And it's just there's been a few times where it feels like, hey, I'm like I'm taking part in evicting somebody here, and it's just one of those things that I can't say I'm for and I can't say I'm against. I'm just like in the middle on it somewhere.
Well, and I have a mentor of mine, Richard. I won't give his last name because he didn't give me permission, that I've spent a lot of time with. Now, he's done theology and he's done a lot of history. Mm-hmm. House cleansings and rituals along those lines a lot of times, I don't think people understand what they really originally meant. A lot of these things are designed to make the people in the home feel better.
Right.
You bless a home a lot of times. Originally, blessings in a home were actually created to bring in new life to a home when you had a baby, when you were coming into a new home and so forth. You wanted to remove all the negativity of your life and bring in something new. So you'd bless the home. And a lot of house cleansings are kind of the same way. It's something to make the family feel a little bit more confident. People come in all the time. I hear this all the time. I see it on Facebook. I've refused to follow some investigators because of that. They go into the home and they want to charge somebody for this blessing and say it's going to remove all the bad spirits. Reality is, it's not.
I think that my personal philosophy concerning it is, it's like you get a job and you go to that job every day and you get paid because you produce. That's why you get paid. Uh-huh. When you go into these homes and it's like you say, okay, well, I'm going to cleanse your house or I'm going to get this spirit out of here, but I'm going to charge you, $1,000 to do it. But you can't really, like you said, you can't prove that you actually did anything. So it's like you're really not producing anything there. So you don't deserve to get paid. That's why if anybody contacts me to come into their home and do an investigation, I am not going to charge you a dime, because it's an opportunity for me not only to help you, but for me to try and understand a phenomenon. That's what counts to me. So I would never dream of charging somebody anything. I would never dream of saying, well, you know, hey, the cost of batteries or whatever, you know, how about a little bit of a donation? Would never do anything like that.
Yeah, well, precisely. And from a strictly research standpoint, and paranormal study, a lot of times that's all it is a research standpoint. you shouldn't charge somebody to come in and do that research. Right. You know, universities don't get charged to do the research. People pay them to do the research in hopes that we're going to find something that will be the next $1 million. So that's kind of the way I look at it. And don't get me wrong, listeners, when I'm talking about blessings in a home, there's absolutely nothing wrong with doing a blessing in a home. There's
absolutely nothing
with having the belief in doing that. And if it makes you feel better, that's great. The point of the real matter is when you're getting investigators into your home, if you feel you have something there, pay close attention to those investigators. And 99% of the time, if somebody wants to charge you $500 or $1,000 or $3,000, whatever that fee is to remove something, you should question that credibility. That's like me as a marketer coming in and when I've done my services in the past, I've actually physically told people, I give you a guarantee on my services. If I'm not producing for you, if I'm not getting you the result that I tell you I should get you, you shouldn't have to pay me.
Exactly. I could not have said it better myself.
And that's the key. I mean, you can't really prove you're removing anything from a home.
No.
It's an energy or a physical presence that we can't see.
And not only that, too, you're also dealing in something that is of a highly subjective matter. I know that, you know, you hear, you know, a lot of people, well, objectivity and proving and evidence. And it's like, at the end of the day, it's like, you can't really prove that ghosts exist.
No, because you can only disprove situation.
Exactly. You can't, there is no piece of equipment or anything that we have in our bag of tricks that we can point at something and say, yep, that's a ghost, and prove it and have, you know, this mind-numbingly awesome evidence that's going to show the world, and because the mainstream scientific community is still going to look at it and say, are you sure about that?
Well, the thing people don't realize when you're out there as investigators is a lot of people like to debate science versus paranormal investigation. But when you start getting into the real study, it's not really about proving that a ghost is there. Because as you're saying, and as you just mentioned there, Rick, the equipment that we have, the science that we have, everything that we have can generally disprove. It can support theory sometimes as well when you're starting into getting into quantum physics and psychology and so forth. You can start developing some theories, but a lot of the equipment and things regular investigators come in with, those things are designed to disprove. If you can rule out specific things, again, you're making the person in the home feel better. If I can prove that it's a rodent or it's some sort of leakage somewhere or it's a common explanation, then you know it's not something to be afraid of.
Yeah, I mean, and even with me, I've had plenty of those. I've gone into people's homes that they're like, you know, I hear this weird scratching in the wall, and there's this really cold breeze that blows through. It's like, well, you got a family of squirrels living in your walls, and maybe it's time to weather strip those doors and windows. Don't have anything like that in your home. You have things that are wholly natural. There's nothing supernatural going on in your home. And I've had that more times than I've ever had a haunting. You know, people need to realize something. A haunting, the spirit or, excuse me, the spirit of a soul or somebody or whatever inhabiting a home is incredibly rare. I mean, it is like, it is, I can't even properly say it. It's just, it's incredibly rare. And most of the time when you go into a home, you're not dealing with ghosts. You're dealing with something that is completely natural. And that's why, you know, you get a lot of these places where people go in there. It's like, you know, they think that it's going to be a scare a minute or that they're going to come out with this great evidence. And it's just, at the end of the day, hauntings are rare, man. It's not a common thing.
And it falls into that less than 1% again. There's a lot of things, and people get really annoyed at me when I say this, but when you start going into the paranormal community, and listeners, just so that you're aware, paranormal means the unknown. Yeah. that's all it is. So a lot of things fall into that term. But when you fall into the unknown, you come up most of the time with logical explanations for what's going on if you spend enough time in it. And that's really what science is too. Science tries to define the unknown, define the logical, and then they stumble across things from time to time that advances things.
Right. Yeah, exactly.
So, I mean, everything unknown can fall into the term paranormal somewhere along the line. Geology, study of the stars, zoology, a lot of these things get debated from time to time as, well, it's not really paranormal, it's not this, it's not that. Actually, it is. You can find geological studies where we know that we actually have rocks that are emitting some sort of frequencies, and those frequencies will affect electronics, they'll affect thought, they'll affect all kinds of other things, yet we still can't explain why the rock is emitting this.
Exactly. You know, and that's why it's like it's not a bad idea to educate yourself on natural science, on sociology, on psychology. Me, I am a guy with a high school diploma, so it's like I'm not even going to pretend to say that I have, you know, some kind of advanced training in a scientific discipline. But I'm also a nerd with a library card, and I know how to use it well. And if I'm on an investigation and I think that something is going on, I'm going to go find out or ask somebody who might know better than I. I mean, you can't be afraid to say, I don't know. I had a martial arts teacher of mine who used to tell me that the three hardest words in the English language to say are, I don't know, but I'm going to find out. And I'm going to help you understand. While I'm in the process of understanding it as well, you just have to be honest with people.
Well, that's something you have to say a lot when you're in the paranormal. I don't know.
Right. I don't know. And there's nothing wrong with that.
Nope, there's absolutely nothing wrong with that. That's how I started my journey. I had a situation where I just simply couldn't explain it. I went to ask questions. It advanced to other things. Now I've had the wonderful opportunity to get theories from all kinds of – and I'm the same as you. Just so everybody knows, I have a marketing and business degree. I don't have a science degree. I've told that people that 1,000 times. Now, I am fascinated with talking to people in science. I love it when I get a physicist or a psychologist or somebody and I sit down and talk to them, because listening to their opinions of this sometimes, it makes sense.
Sure. You know, it's really funny that you should say that, because a couple weeks ago, just so your listeners understand, I went through cancer and I lost my leg to cancer. And I was sitting in my in the surgical oncologist's office a couple weeks ago. He's checking on what is called, you know, the residual limb or the stump. And it was amazing. Here's this guy. He's got, like, you know, 30 years of scientific and medical background, and when he found out what I was interested in, his question was, is Bachelor's Grove Cemetery really as haunted? Don't say that it is. And it's like, he told me that his daughter has an interest in this stuff, and he was totally respectful about it. You know, a lot of times you think that, well, if somebody is like the mainstream science, well, they're not going to be, you know, respectful. It's like, well, no, because I have this surgical oncologist here asking me my opinion of something like that. So it's like, it was an amazing experience.
Yeah, you find a lot of people in the scientific community. That's something I've argued with people many, many times about, that are fascinated with it. They're astonished by it. They'll sit down and talk to you. They'll give you their opinions on it. It's the very small few that are closed-minded. I had a gentleman that he was in the University of Arizona, and he was actually studying crop circles. Now, he's a professor that doesn't believe in UFOs, but the science behind the crop circles absolutely fascinated him. He took a class out. They studied the different types of crops. They found out what could break the corpuscles in the actual corn and so forth from time to time. They studied some crop circles overseas and had a chance to do that. And he was totally fascinated with it. And in the end, he did come back and say, there were some I simply could not explain. So it happens a lot in the scientific community. People tend to think that science and the paranormal can't mix, but you'd be surprised how many people are just fascinated with the term.
Sure. Absolutely.
Well, let's take a little bit of time and talk about where they can find you, Rick. I know you're just starting your career back up. We talked about SpookyIsles.com. Are you planning on writing any more books?
You know, I really, at this moment, I'm just coming off of a year of going through cancer and going through chemotherapy and you know, other kind of, you know, and all that kind of stuff. So it's like, I really don't want to commit myself to writing another book. So I like to just write articles, you know, little things here and there, you know, for people to enjoy. But
that's writing can be a fun thing, though, so.
But that's not to say that I won't one day. But I'm sorry, what was your question?
I was just, writing is a phenomenal thing anyway. I took a minor in journalism, and I love writing. I'm lousy at spelling, but it can be a fun thing, and you're a good writer.
Yeah.
So
thank you.
So let's talk about Spooksies.com. Spooky Isles. I keep calling it Spooksies. I apologize. SpookyIsles.com. Now you've written a few things. I'm sure you're planning on writing a few more. So let's talk about some of your upcoming things, and that way they can get a little bit interested in that, and then we'll kind of close out the show from there.
Well, to be honest with you, when I'm writing articles for magazines or whatever, the editor gives they know my reputation. They know that it's like I'm going to give them something good. So they pretty much just allow me to, you know, cherry pick and pick and choose whatever it is that I want to write. Today I had just sent an article to David Saunderson, who is the managing editor of Spooky Isles, about Les Enfants Day Nursery in Liverpool, England. And how they have a history of the children playing with unseen people, that and one of those apparitions that the children see and interact with on a daily basis is the apparition of a man they just call Mister. Now, when it comes to Les Enfants, before it was Les Enfants, it was actually a morgue. So some people do believe that this, you know, was a person that, you know, died and was brought into the morgue, and, you know, whatever, their spirit decided to stay around. So, but yeah, that's pretty much how I do things. You know, editors, when people ask me to come and write for them, they know my reputation. They know that I'm not going to give them, bad stuff. And, so they pretty much just let me make my own assignments, which is really awesome when you think about it.
I would love that's a dream, and that's a dream environment for a writer.
Yeah.
Well, you've been talking to Rick Hale. Rick Hale is a published author. He's obviously writing on SpookyIsles.com and restarting his career, and we're glad you're still with us, Rick. I know that cancer can be a rough thing to go through. I went through it myself about 15 years ago now, so a lot of respect to you. It takes a lot of work and a lot of effort. This is Paranormal Truth and Reality. And I'm your host, Christopher Houston. Next week, we have Chris Sanders. Chris Sanders has been a paranormal investigator for over 23 years. He's going to tell us about his team and his unique views. So make sure you tune in. November 24th, we have Michael Scott. And Michael's a personal friend of mine. He's been a paranormal investigator for about 15 years. He took a retirement to spend a little bit of time with his children. And though it was supposed to be this year, because we've got our funding going through next year, Mike and I will be going out on a location that's claimed to have thousands of demons in a church. Of course, obviously, we're going to prove this wrong, hopefully, but it's going to be a very unique experience. I want everybody to tune in once that gets published there. December is going to be a wonderful month. We have a great lineup of people, so make sure that you stay tuned for that. Rick, I want to thank you personally for being on. It's been a great pleasure. Do you have anything else that you want to say before the end of the show?
No, I mean, if you want to go over to Amazon.com, you can find my book, The Geek's Guide to the Strange and Unusual, Poltergeist, Ghosts, and Demons. People seem to like it. So if you're looking for something new to read, I would check that out.
Awesome. And it is a great book, listeners. So make sure that you go in there, jump on and order it, because I've had a wonderful time reading it, Rick. So I'm looking forward to finishing up, and then I'll probably tell you all about it on an instant message.
Great. Thanks, Chris.
Well, I will let everybody off of here tonight. Again, as you've learned, in the paranormal, truth should always be the reality. We've talked to a very wonderful person tonight. He's told us the common reality that ghosts aren't always scary. They aren't always something you should be afraid of. And he covered one other thing that's very, very important for the listeners to understand, and that is when you bring an investigator into a home, make sure that you do your research and don't ever spend any money on that investigator. Make sure that you know they're legitimate. Make sure that you know that they're there to help you out, because that's the key. You want to be comfortable in your environment and in your home and know that you can live. And most investigators are perfectly understandable about that. Why? Because we're about the research, we're about the data, and we're about helping you out. This has been Paranormal Truth and Reality. We'll see you next week. Enjoy your weekend.